We're discussing a book out right now. It's called That's Maths. It's from Peter Lynch, who joins me on the program now. Hi, Peter.
Hi, Greg.
Thank you so much for taking the call. A real treat, but particularly a treat for those of your Irish Times column.
Yeah, it's actually a mixture of Irish Times articles and articles from my blog, and then some original articles covering all areas of maths and its applications.
It's a significant piece of work, Peter. How long were you working on it for? Of course, you're working on it throughout your entire career, but the on the book itself in earnest.
Yeah, well, I've been writing in the Irish Times for 4 or 5 years, so that comes to quite a few. And then I've been posting to the blog for about the same time. So you could say it took 5 years to write, but of course, it was written here and there and everywhere over various periods and not all at one sitting.
Mathematics influences or is involved in pretty much everything we interact with or engage with or think about, I suppose, even on some level, Peter.
Oh, yes. I mean, it underlies really many, many aspects of our own modern world. I mean, you and I are talking to each other. You know, there's a mathematical basis for the communications that we're using. So all electronics and all the modern technology, iPads and iPhones and all sorts of things that kids love these days really have a mathematical basis.
And children, when it's taught correctly, do love maths. I mean, it's not the worst subject when the children see a double on their rotor.
No, it has a bad kind of name, and a lot of people have bad memories, a bad experience of school doing awfully abstruse problems that they really don't care about the answer. It's unfortunate that having a good maths teacher is really very beneficial. Now, of course, it's difficult often for schools to find teachers for technical subjects, but there are improvements undergoing. There are new courses for teachers and so on.
Would it be
great fun, you know, it really can be wonderful fun, especially if it's taught in the right way.
I've spoken to people that try to teach subjects or teach subjects, particularly mathematics, in different ways or it's evolving. Do you subscribe to that? Do you like it to be taught in a sort of what would be a traditional sense, or do you like sort of perhaps some of these new ways of getting children to engage with the subject?
I think we need balance always in teaching. I mean, people have been thinking about ways of teaching for literally thousands of years. And we're always trying new things, and very often the new things have been tried before and so on. But, I mean, the main thing, I think, is I know a saying that comes from, it might be the Talmud or something, but a lesson learned with laughter is remembered. I think that's a terrific idea. You know, if you can introduce fun into a class, it really helps the kids to absorb the material and enjoy it.
And I suppose if you're speaking to an adult or whatever and they go, I'm not interested in maths, so what's algebra ever done for me, or what's long division ever done for me? Perhaps they're not seeing the full picture, and this book will explain that. And I'm doing it a disservice there, because there's some really, really fascinating chapters, stuff that I wouldn't have even connected to maths.
No, that's the thing. It's amazingly widespread, and it's kind of an ubiquitous subject. I mean, the byline on the blog that I have, thatsmaths.com, is beautiful, useful, and fun. And I try to bring out those aspects, you know, that mathematics can be beautiful. It's really a wonderful intellectual creation. It's, in a sense, it's an art form, like the other arts.
And it happens
to be incredibly useful as well. And, of course, then there's a whole area called recreational mathematics, which is really wonderful fun.
Now, in your book, it's for those perhaps who have an interest, but those who really, really have an interest, you really go into quite some detail. Give us an example of one of the things that you find most fascinating, Peter.
Well, I think it's fascinating. I think it's all fascinating, but just the other day I came across a fascinating little problem, which it's very brief to state, and your listeners might enjoy thinking about it. I'm not going to give the answer. Okay, imagine you had a flight of stairs. So there might be 6 steps or there might be 20 steps. And imagine you can go up the stairs 1 at a time or 2 at a time. Okay, then you ask, how many patterns are there? How many ascent patterns? Can you go, you know, you could go 2, then 1, then 1, then 2, and so on. So if they fiddle around with that for a small number of stirs, they will see a pattern emerging. And actually, if they manage to solve the problem, which is not too difficult, they'll find a sequence, which is a very famous sequence, but I won't tell you what it is.
Is it in the book at least, Peter? You can't just leave us completely angry. I mean, at least let it be a hook for the book.
Oh, yeah, but, well, you see, this is actually an important idea.
Yes.
See, mathematics is difficult. There's no good in pretending it's not. You know, It requires effort. And, of course, most of us tend to be mentally lazy. We have a natural tendency to choose the easy way of doing things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we walk around the table instead of climbing over it and so on. It's just a natural thing to optimize our efforts. And you really have to put a bit of work into maths. And I talked a few minutes ago about the fun, but it's also necessary to learn things. I mean, when we study geography, we need to know the capitals of the major countries and so on. We need to take this basic underlying core of factual material that we just need to learn. And it's the same in every subject in history and so on.
Peter, what makes some of us better at maths than others? Is it like intelligence? Is it a certain aspect of the brain? Is it the teacher that we have? I mean, generally speaking, do we all have the ability to get to a really quite high understanding of it if we have the right direction?
I think it would be a bit much to claim that everyone could be a brilliant mathematician. I mean, we wouldn't claim that everyone can run 100 meters in 10 seconds. They simply don't have the physique to do that. And it's the same with most intellectual subjects. I mean, there are people who are fortunate enough to be gifted with special talents. But most of us, I think, pretty well all of us can get a basic understanding. And having a good teacher, I mentioned before, is really critical. Somebody who can really show you the beauty of the subject and how you can enjoy it.
Okay, it's very, very interesting indeed. We're not going to get the answer to these steps. I'm here, I have a full A4 page already done up, and I'm not going to try and even give an answer. You can go 1-1-1-1-2-1-2-2-2-2. Is that the scenario?
Well, you see, okay, it depends on the number of steps. I mean, let's
say six.
For argument's sake, say there's four steps.
Right.
Keep it simple. So you could go 1-1-1-1, 1-1-2, 1-2-1, 2-1-1, or 2-2. That's five.
Yes.
Now, if I go up to six, I'll give you to five steps. There's then eight. But I'm giving you too much information.
Okay.
Some listeners will want to try this.
Okay.
To work it out for one step, there's obviously only one way for one step.
Yes, okay.
There's two ways for two. Work it out for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then you begin to see the pattern. And then there's a moment that people often call the aha moment. See, they say, aha, I've seen this sequence before. And that's a kind of a joyful experience. You know, it's really nice to see these unexpected patterns emerging.
Okay, super.
Because this is just a fun problem, but this happens in real applications too, when somebody's working on quite high-tech areas, and they see, my goodness, look, there's a connection here I never thought of before.
This is a completely off-the-wall question, Peter, but I've always...
Oh, good.
Don't get your expectations up, please. Do you know if you do the lottery? Okay.
Yes.
There's a one in, I don't know what the chance, maybe you know, what's the one
about
in...
About 11 million.
Right, one in 11 million chance. If you do the lottery, two lines of the lottery, do you have an increased chance of winning, or is it two, one chances in 11 million?
Well, it's two. I mean, if you buy two tickets, you have a better chance of winning. I'd still see you're twice as silly.
But you have twice the chance of winning if you buy two tickets. Is it that?
Yeah, but I mean that's your way of phrasing it. I would say you have twice as much chance of losing your money.
It's a poor man's tax. I don't do it because I don't have the money for it. To be honest with you, I haven't done the lotto in many, many years. But anyway, that's besides the point. Peter,
actually on the lotto, if I could just say one thing. I mean, of course, it's not a good investment at all. People who do it just for fun and spend a euro here and there, they're having fun and that's fine. But people who invest a large amount of money are really very foolish. But there's a surprising fact. You might wonder, could the same numbers ever come up 2 weeks in a row? And, of course, there's very little chance of that. But it has happened. In 2007 in Bulgaria, the same six numbers came up in two consecutive lotteries.
Wow.
Which is quite remarkable.
It really is.
This is something called the improbability principle. It's that there are so many lotteries in so many countries that sooner or later this unusual thing is going to happen.
That's numbers for you.
Yeah, but I'd still keep my money in my pocket.
Yeah, well, listen, I agree with you. You know, if you have the bookmakers or any of those that offer odds on something, they all have to gamble aware. They have to give warnings at the end of ads. The lotto don't have to do it. It must be great to have that power. But anyway, that's a different issue. Peter, where can people get That's Maths? Obviously, it's going to be in local bookstores. People might be able to get it online, I'm sure, Peter.
They get it online. It's available on the usual places like Amazon. If they ask the library to get it for them, it's just called That's Maths. And why not treat yourself to a copy? I mean, a couple of cups of coffee cost the same and they're gone in a flash.
That's true.
You have the book for life.
And what will your blog address for us one more time as well, Peter?
It's thatsmaths.com.
And in the Irish Times as well. Thank you so much, Peter. It's been a pleasure speaking to you.
Delighted, Greg. Thank you very much.
Have a lovely day. Take care. What an interesting man. Peter Lynch and his book, That's Maths.